We just went up to Indy. Practice is about to start. We talked to our buddy Greg Rakestraw, Colts play-by-play TV guy, and he was saying all the Colts fans are excited to see Keenan Allen in action. Bunch of colleagues in the city are up there as far as reporting on stuff and keeping you updated, and we will certainly do the same here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A.J. Brown, man, with the Patriots. And speaking of these joint practices, ironically, the Patriots had their joint practice with the Philadelphia Eagles. And apparently A.J. Brown did work. Him and Drake May were hooking up all throughout practice. This is a joint practice today. And they asked him after practice, hey, you know, any hard feelings? And A.J. Brown was like, no, man, look, I know I'm on the opposing team now, but it's love. I still felt some love from my guys over there. So he is going to be a force, Mike. And he's re-energized, I think, being with him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got a coach who's going to get him the ball.
Yeah, look, we've talked to a lot of our friends. Hugh Douglas joins us from up in Philly and trying to figure out what the heck happened there. I mean, and you know, you went through multiple coordinators, and you know, it's when things are bad, you got your wide receiver reading a book on the sideline, as well documented. And I don't know how Jalen Hurts and him never got on the same page, and then it sort of became the soap opera element. But yeah, you know that Vrabel will figure this out, and Josh McDaniels, who's maybe not head coach material, but a great offensive mind, and Drake May, it's the best weapon he's had since, you know, Diggs is off the team, and now he's got this guy.
Yeah, no doubt. So a lot of these joint practices, guys, are going on, including our own Falcons in Indianapolis. And we'll let you hear from Kevin Stefanski again, remembering what the plan is as we head up there. But Stefanski also saying, you know, we want to treat this with a dose of respect and not get crazy with all the fighting and stuff, because it's easy, because it's not your teammates now, right? And your guy hits you in the head, you go, come on, man. And the next thing you know, you got two guys pulling each other's helmets off. It's easier because it's not your teammate, and you know, but you still got to get work in. And that's the part where, Mike, you want to be aggressive, you want to have some fun, but you also don't want to overdo it where coaches are like, we're done.
Right. We talked about one of the things last year. I think we brought up yesterday, Panix Jr. getting in a scrum. He's at the bottom of the pile. He's swinging on cuz against the Titans. Brought some energy, because it always happens the second day. Second day of this joint practice, that's usually when the shenanigans will start, unless things get heated early. But that's something, as you said, a healthy amount of some spirit. Don't get hurt, but we want some juice, because we just look so flat and lifeless in that preseason game. By the way, Josh Kendall from The Athletic reporting Za'Darius Thomas won't practice up in Indy. You were wondering, said still working through his acclimation process with the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, he just got signed yesterday, right?
Right.
Officially. So, again, and I don't know what kind of shape he's in. Obviously, he's in football, you know, he's in decent shape. They would not have signed him, but there's still a period where you got to get ready. And so we'll probably have to wait until that third preseason game to really probably get a chance to see him. All right, guys, 404-726-0929. Coming up, who has the most to prove? We'll get into that conversation. What's on Day-Day's mind as well. But right now, let's get to 4th and 1. All right, let's hear from Kevin Stefanski. First and foremost, the plan for Michael Penix, just so that you people know again.
Yeah, Indy, I expect the same plan that we have. We have 7-on-7 both days.
When you talked to Steichen, did you talk specifically about like kind of some 7-on-7 periods?
We did. We did, yes. And that's obviously that's something that they do as well, but just making sure that we have it both days. And then, you know, when you're going somewhere, really, we're the guests. Shane's the host, so whatever he wants to do, we'll do. And he says how many minutes this period is and how many plays that is. And we'll give our feedback if it's something that we need. But we just plan on being good guests.
Okay. So that's the plan for Michael Penix. So nothing really changes from what we've seen here. Meanwhile, Mark Ross and Judy Batista, who are on NFL Network, Mike, were talking about our quarterback situation. And this is what they said about Penix.
Well, the process should be to get Michael Penix as healthy as possible and get him on the field. Unfortunately, because what I saw from Tua in a limited view there in the first preseason game looked like the Tua from last year. Look, Tua had always had limitations coming out of Alabama, but he had strengths at Miami, getting the ball out really quick, making quick decisions, pushing the ball downfield. Last year, you didn't see that. Seemed like a shock fighter last year. The injuries kind of took their toll, where he didn't even do the things well that he did well before last year. And in this first game, you know, every pass he threw, the 5 passes were all under 5 yards. When pressure gets towards him, the play is over. You saw that as well. And then you saw the fumbled snap there as well, Judy. So unfortunately for Tua, I know the expectations were he's going to get around this talent another year and he'll look better, at least look like he did when he was early. But just in this view, he looked like the Tua from last year. So Michael Penix, get healthy, get out on the field. I think we'll give them the best chance to compete.
Let me say this, though. Penix will also be in trouble if the pressure is there. That is the issue with both of these guys, right? We know their escapability is limited. So, yeah, that did happen, but I'm also not willing to tell you, oh, Penix would have thrown 50 yards down the field. He's going to be in problems, too.
No, I mean, Penix, first off, he's got to get the confidence. He's got to be able to move. And, you know, one of the things last year is, you know, when there is something breaking down, no one's going to confuse him for, you know, dual threat. That's not what we're saying. But he does have decent speed when he's healthy. We saw that in the combine. He doesn't run poorly. He just, for whatever reason, wouldn't do it and take what the defense was giving him. But running for your life is a different situation.
Yeah.
And, again, nothing would have been different, to your point, if he's back behind that line. You better hope Juwan Taylor figures it out at right tackle. Look, Jake knows what he's doing. Bergeron just got a deal. They're happy with Neusel, and Lindstrom is Pro Bowl. So it's the blind side, you know, and having an extra tight end to help Chip or keeping a running back back takes away everything we're trying to do offensively in Stefanski's system. So you need that guy to be the man. So important to see, hopefully hear good things about Juwan Taylor this week.
Mike, let's address this. Big Speaker, that's what he goes by on social media.
Big Speaker?
Yeah, appreciate you following us.
And his cousin, Big Woofer.
He says, guys, don't you think the team is holding Penix back from getting hurt? I understand what Penix said, but I truly feel like the Falcons, all capital letters, are holding Penix out to be safe. Okay, then my question to you, Big Speaker, is for how long? Now's the time to figure this out. It gets harder as the season goes along. And look, I hate to use that phrase when the bullets are live and all that crap, but it's different. And so when you want to find out about a guy, now's the time to do that. So if you're holding him out to protect him, how long, Mike, if that is true?
Right. I mean, then my gap year theory is correct, because then this year becomes a workshop at quarterback. Tua holds down the fort. We got a really difficult first five or six games on our schedule, depending on how you look at it. I mean, you know, we used to divide it into quarters with a 16-week schedule. It's some really tough opponents. Guys who were playoff or on the cusp of playoffs last year. So Tua will do what he does and keep the seat warm for Michael Penix Jr. And I don't know. It's if the last thing this team would want to do is sandbag Michael Penix's return, you want to get him out there live and again, see what he can do. So if that's the case, the doctors, why do you think, guys, we've debated this for all friggin' offseason, because he has an injury history. He can't recover like other guys can recover from other more serious injuries because he's already dealing with stuff on his other part of his body. And you know that. Guys overwork it, Carl, they come back too soon, and some other thing go breaks on the other part.
Yeah.
So if that's where the overabundance of caution is, it just sucks for us trying to see. Look, I would change my attitude about this team if Michael Penix Jr. was out there throwing in regular practice and we'd see him in the preseason. Because that's something I could be excited about. How does he get tutored by Stefanski and Van Pelt, Tommy Rees, the whole shebang?
Yeah, no,
it's
true.
Is very sexy.
That's true.
Don't you think?
Well, Orin found it.
It's funny because, or at least it is to me, the same people who were clamoring to see Penix get the job when Kirk Cousins was here are the same people now that are worried and criticizing him. And you don't have that same confidence. Now, I get why, but right. You were the same folks that were like, man, go on and start Penix. Man, put him in. What are we waiting on?
And now it's, oh, no, he can't go until he's ready. Look, he's your boy. Holler at your boy. He's your boy. I get it. That's your guy. But okay, we got a year audition. This is it. Because he needs to show he belongs here. He needs to show he can get the ball out accurately with good footwork. He's got to become, if you want to give this guy a contract, if you want to sign off on that fifth year, you want to do that in the spring, he needs to audition for you this year and look good. And right now he can't. And that, so I know you guys, well, you blame it on Penix. Well, again, ability and availability, Carl, they go together.
They do.
And that's why, guys, you don't want to get that prefix injury prone. Newsflash, Michael Penix Jr. is injury prone. He's been his entire career.
It's interesting. Big Speaker, appreciate you sharing, man. You can find us on social media. Let us know what you think. Hey, man, ESPN announces Pat McAfee is joining their Monday Night Countdown pregame show as an analyst. I guess I didn't realize this. Day-Day and O were saying that was the show Ryan Clark was on. Mm-hmm. So, in essence, I guess he's stepping in there. But it's right. Scott Van Pelt, it's Jason Kelsey, it's Marcus Spears, and Jason McCourty. But McAfee is joining the Monday Night Countdown pregame show. And a lot of people, Mike, the memes are out there in a month. ESPN will be nothing but McAfee.
Well, I mean, everybody knows the budgets. The chickens came home to roost with the contracts. And Stephen A. gets a big chunk and McAfee gets everything else. And he's on everything else. And he's also generating ratings. Now, you might not dig a McAfee. You might be a little bit older. But for the bar, I call it the Barstool Sports, the 18 to 49, he crushes it. You know, is it my style? No, but I'm outside the demographic. They know what they're getting, and they're getting the numbers. Now, I'm McAfee'd out personally, but ESPN's going to get their money's worth here, Carl, because, as we said, whether it's College Game Day, which has had the best numbers they've had in a decade,
yep,
with McAfee, so they're getting the results.
Yeah. Giants sign running back Najee Harris to a one-year deal. We mentioned that. And also, this is interesting because it's in our division, Mike. Alvin Kamara apparently expected to be sidelined for a month.
Sprained MCL. Again, that's Oren. We don't. Again, please, we do not laugh about injuries, Oren.
Yeah. Well.
Please. Now we can laugh about bad Saints picks.
It's true. Yeah, or bad Saints play.
Right, but not that. Please, we're better than that. More or less. But anyway, yeah, he's out. Bad case 6. Best case 4 weeks.
We're not going to get swept by the Saints this year, are we?
I wouldn't put it past them.
What?
Why was that silence, Mike?
I wouldn't.
Wait. Why'd you have to think about that?
Because I don't know what we are, man.
Oh, it's a second and a half of dead air there.
I don't know what we are. They drafted well. They added some good free agents. I mean, I'm just saying. They believe in Shuck. Tough place to play.
They're getting banged up.
They are getting banged up.
They're getting banged
up. Yeah, but so, Day-Day, we lost 25 sacks. We haven't replaced 25 sacks right now. We just talked about a right tackle that may be a turnstile or a walking false start. And we don't even know who our quarterback is.
We're not going to get swept by the Saints. Are we?
Well, hell, we've been swept by Taysom Hill. We got swept by that guy. Literally, that guy.
There's no way Jaren Hall could come in here and beat the Falcons on Sunday.
And it wasn't Jaren Hall. It was the Minnesota's backup. It was?
No, we put him out.
Remember who it was?
Yes, of
course. Joshua Dobbs. And after like 2 days of knowing the playbook.
He just got signed recently. Alpharetta's own, man.
Great kid. Great young man.
Oh, that was so frustrating.
Hey, on the other side of the spectrum, until proven guilty in a court of law, Kerryon Arnold, signed by the Seahawks. They capture the general manager signing him, and all the folks and people that lose their minds over things like this are losing their minds. John Schneider, they're talking about, would they ever touch this guy with a 10-foot pole if they were going to draft him if he had this kind of background? But they're going to take him. Now the word is it don't matter because he's going to be on the commissioner's exempt list to start the season because the optics on this are pretty awful. What the prosecutors are alleging down in Pinellas County, kidnapping and trying to roughen up the guys he thought ripped him off that the cops said didn't rip him off.
He didn't do it, but he was behind it.
Correct. He put together the crew.
Yeah.
He masterminded the crew, allegedly.
Yeah. So, all right, man.
And by the way, I watch Hard Knocks. You know, I still dig it. You watch any of it?
Yeah, I've seen episode one. I have not had a chance to catch up. I've just been busy, man, with stuff. But yeah, I have not watched. I guess, what are they now? Episode 3, probably?
It was episode 3 last night. First time I popped in to watch some of it. And, you know, they still do a nice job with it. I mean, if you're digging it, they have the mid-season one as well. But he'll be landing on the commissioner's exempt list when the Seahawks deal becomes official.
Yeah, we watched it in that first episode. Michelle, my wife, shows that music. It gets me every time.
Yes. And Liv Schreiber's narration.
It just gets you.
They always have the guy, the plucky undrafted free agent or the late round draft pick, and his family in the stands, and he's not doing anything, and the mom is going, "Oh, no, not my boy," as he's struggling. But yeah, it's all they got a formula and they make it work. By the way, speaking of HBO, we'll talk more about it. Finally got to watch you and I and Day-Day. We're talking about Lanterns.
Yeah, I've not
the first
seen
episode.
It. Not seen it yet.
But you give it away, but it's tight. It's very tight.
All right, man. Again, Devon Diablo working back in the mix, guys, up at Indy. He's ready for practice today. We'll find out who else is out there. A lot of guys we've been missing that need to get back on the practice field. So this is the time to do it, and we'll see who's going to be out there this afternoon. All right, we're coming back. Who has the most to prove? We'll talk about it next. Who needs it more? It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. More on the Falcons coming up as they're practicing up in Indy, joint practices with the Colts. But when you get ready to look at the start of the college football season and the NFL in our city, Georgia Tech finished 9-4 last year. It was their first 9-win season since 2017, guys. Look, they were a hair away. If they would have handled business against Pitt, I think they could have probably made the playoff, regardless of what happened in the ACC championship. But didn't play out that way. But it's the best record under Brent Key. And you look at Georgia, back-to-back SEC champions, eliminated in the quarterfinals of past two college football playoffs the last two seasons. So, you go back, what was it, 2023, Mike, now, the last time they were in the college football championship? And 22, that's right, 2022. And then you look at the Falcons, and here's the deal with the Falcons. New head coach, new OC, missed the playoffs 8 seasons. Who needs it more? Who has more to prove in 2026? And, look, Georgia gets some grace because they've just been damn good every year, right? I'm saying national championship or bust because that is the standard, and I think Kirby's got the talent to get there. but it would be, you know, silly of me for me to sit here and tell you that Georgia has the most to prove or that they needed more. I actually don't feel that way. And look, I don't know how it's going to play out, but even if they lost in the first round of the playoffs again, they're getting to the playoffs every year. That's the goal. Every coach would tell you that. But for me, Mike, Georgia Tech, look, can Brent Key build on this? But for me, it's still the Falcons, man. I don't care about the new head coach. We've had new head coaches. New head coaches have success in this league every year with less talent than what we have, by the way. And so for me, it's the Falcons who still have the most to prove in 2026. It's the Falcons who need it more than these other teams, including Georgia Tech. I just feel like almost a decade?
Yeah, like we've talked about it. We just had the Colts dude on talking about how they're going back, you know, years to when Phillip Rivers was younger. Last time they made the playoffs, going on 6-7 seasons. We're going on 8 now, 9. You know, the Jets are, I think it's 13 or 14. So you're up there in the rarefied era of incompetence. You know, and look, we know how we got here, but how do we fix it? So, Carl, I use the phrase gap year. And it's driving people crazy what I meant by it, because guys, every year's a gap year with the Falcons. Ever since 66. No, the idea is you've finally turned the regime.
Yes.
You know, you got your cap space where it's supposed to be.
Yep.
We got the third, depending on which website you look at, we've got the second to third most cap space next year. The thing we don't have is a quarterback. We don't have a pass rush right now, and we don't really have a great run defense. I mean, I had a guy just hit me up on Twitter, and this is always something I like to hear. Wednesday, by the way, midweek is always the best for people just being in their feels. I don't know what it is, Carl. The weekend is still too far away, and everybody's in their bag. Because, hey, Mike, you make me utterly sick. You saw one preseason game. I said, have you seen 12 freaking practices? Because Carl and I have. And where there's some things missing on this team. I think I'm just going to sit there and just pull something out of my butt and stick it out on social media. Like some guys, we don't do that here. Just telling you, I see some serious issues. I don't see some areas of concern addressed right now. But next year, through free agency for some big pieces, maybe even offensive line if we don't get that development or we can't get it in the draft, we got some ideas that are really churning with Ian. I think Cunningham gets it. They brought in some great cap people. We're doing things with contracts, Carl, we've never done, to set us up for success down the road. I'm just saying this year I don't see it because you don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, look, every year is different, but you would assume, right, if everything's perfect, that you get not only a full season of JPJ next year, but also Jalen Walker, right? That part of this team is going to be revitalized. And that part, yeah, I totally buy in. You're right about going out and filling in the gaps with what you're missing. You sign really the core group on your offensive side. And there'll be some things that they'll need to adjust, but it feels like that's so far away. But the quarterback thing is, this is to your point, Mike, though. You could have all of that, still not have the right quarterback, and you're not going anywhere.
Right.
That's what's crazy about that. You could still set yourself up for all of the success that it feels like, oh, man, we're going to be good for the next X amount of years. But that one piece in a quarterback league is the piece. And so for all of the things that we're talking about, that's why I think the Falcons need it more. You guys can chime in 404-726-0929. I just don't know if you have that passion yet because they haven't won consistently for Georgia Tech. But there are a lot of people who are like, look, Georgia Tech can't win six games this year and feel good about where they did last year.
Well, no. I mean, Georgia Tech is a team that I think – don't forget, you lose Buster Faulkner, but you bring in George Godsey. So you lose a guy that everybody's high on in college football, but you bring a guy who's got NFL experience.
Yep.
And Goose got a connection to the program. He knows the kind of – the style that Brent Key wants to run. They still want to lean heavily into the run game. You get a guy at quarterback, and it's interesting because there was an article that Andy Staples wrote where Kurt Cignetti said, up in Indiana, we just talked about Indiana, they retained everybody on their roster that they wanted to other than Alberto. Mm. So they lose Alberto Mendoza to Tech. So Tech, we talked about this competitive world. What do they pay him? You got to. We just looked at the numbers. Georgia's up there. Even though Kirby doesn't want to talk about it, Georgia's right up there and competitive with everyone else. He just sprinkles it around the infield more than maybe some schools do for specific skill position guys. But Tech is in the mix. That should be great news for Georgia Tech fans that you get a guy off a national championship team roster that they wanted to retain to come in and fill in for a guy in Haynes King who was your offense basically for the last 2 years. So that's got to be something that's a positive. I think, look, a growing experience. I don't know how you'd classify what the hell happened. That NC State game, that reminded me of the old days of Ted Roof. You couldn't get a stop. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just that's the kind of stuff that drives you crazy because as a Tech fan, and Tech fans know this, even going back to O'Leary, it wasn't like the defense was lights out. But that NC State game became a shootout. The Pittsburgh game was just, it just got away from you like that. And that one was the toughest because it happened at home. Yeah. That should not happen at home.
Yeah, and it was a sellout. I mean, right. Everybody was ready to explode.
But I'm with you. I think the Falcons have more to prove. Georgia, I mean, when you raise the bar of expectation, Carl, everyone starts saying, all right. You know, and look, it's not Kirby's fault that the rest of the SEC can't handle their water, and now everybody's, you know, down on the SEC. All these Big Ten fans who've had this inferiority complex for 20 years, now all chirping, and it's as if Kirby's the only guy that can save it. Which he kind of is,
well,
because I don't believe in Sark.
He's done a great job, and he's earned the credibility that he has. But there are some other great coaches in this league, and we're about to find out, man. Like, again, all the excuses are off the table for Lane Kiffin. For years, Lane Kiffin could have stayed at Ole Miss and said, I just don't have the resources, so we're going with the best we can. Could have won 10 games a year and got paid a lot of money. He took the challenge to go to LSU. Guys, their roster is about $50 million. There's no reason to think, with all the transfers they got and NIL – there's no reason to think LSU shouldn't be in the mix with the coaching of Lane Kiffin.
Right.
But as far as the Yellow Jackets, Mike, they got to be better defensively, man.
Right. Pass rush. Well, they supposedly addressed it.
Yeah, I'm not worried about George Gotze and this offense as much as I am the defense. Jason Seymour is a new defensive coordinator. He's there. I just feel like that's where stopping the run, and as much as they believe in running the football, they got to be better at stopping the run. And, you know, they gave up about 25 points a game. For me, in college football, guys, it's not the points. Everybody's scoring. You got to get stops when you need them. And I think sometimes we get caught up in teams giving up 20, 25, 30, 35 points. That's college football these days. The deal with Georgia is, and again, I don't know if we'll ever see, Mike, a team defensively hold teams down to 9 points a game.
Right.
You know, like the great Alabama defenses back in the day when Kirby was there, and then even Georgia's defense that won the national championship. I just feel like you got to be able to get stops when you need to, and that was part of the problem last year for Georgia Tech.
But they did add a bunch of pieces, and again, Carl, you call it the killer T defense.
Okay.
Taufik Thomas, Vincent Carroll Jackson, Taji McCoy, Tim Griffin. He's not a T, but Noah Carter is a guy that comes over from Alabama.
Yeah.
And these guys feel, again, this is, you talked about, you know, the expectations in Bama, what's going wrong with Kalen DeBoer. Well, Georgia Tech was able to get a guy that some people feel can be a beast coming from the Tide. They also had a guy named Jordan Walker. So they've got a bunch of dudes, which, like, they know it's an issue. They think they've addressed it in the portal. And now time will tell. Because the schedule itself, I mean, there are elements that, you know, yeah, it's a little daunting to take on Tennessee the second week of the season. But I'm not as scared as Colorado. I'm not trying to say it's a cakewalk because there'll be mistakes in the first week of the season. But I think Georgia Tech can certainly win 9 or 10 games next year.
I do, too.
Or this year.
I do, too. I think that 9-win mark is not impossible. I think they can do exactly what they did last year, and hopefully they improve on it. But I'm just saying, like, it's Brent Key is building this. And for that, I'm willing to give him a little bit more grace than I am the Falcons, who get a new coach. And everybody keeps saying this. We keep talking about, well, if we only had this team would be a playoff team.
Right. Well, you've got we know we're living in this new world. And Tech fans, we've talked about, can you support a basketball program and football? Well, they've put some effort in to get guys in here to address that are question marks, needs. You know, you got a quarterback that a lot of teams are interested in. Now, is he going to be as good as his brother? I don't know. Mm. But there's certainly, and there was an interest in him, and Cignetti's on record as saying he didn't want to lose him. So that bodes, you know, pretty well, I would think, for Tech. And now, just don't collapse. They kind of collapse down the stretch. We already talked about that NC State and Pitt game. So what did you learn from that? How do you not let that happen again?
Yeah, they went out and got Josh Hoover. He was at TCU, talking about Indiana, and he's pretty good. I don't know if he's as good as Mendoza, but he's pretty good. So I think they feel pretty good about where they're at with the quarterback position. But I am curious to see Mendoza. We're going to get a chance in that Colorado game, guys. It's coming up here in just a couple of weeks. 404-726-0929. You can let us know what you think. Who needs it more? Georgia Tech, Falcons.
I think when you've won natties in the last couple, going back to back, and you haven't made the playoffs going on 9 seasons, it's got to be the Falcons for me.
Yeah, it is. All right, man, we'll come back. What's on Day-Day's mind next? All right, some good news out of Indy. Our quarterbacks and wide receivers are having some success against the DBs. Look, Colts have a very good defensive backfield. Matter of fact, I mentioned it to their play-by-play guy. I think it's one of the best in the league, and trading for Sauce kind of upgraded them last year. But Tua throwing to Alamide Sakias one-on-one, hits him perfectly. Mm-hmm. Throws a back shoulder fade to Jahan Dotson, hits him perfectly. So that's good news coming out of Indy. And again, a lot of this one-on-one work is great, man, because you are working against guys that you normally don't see. And I think this is the kind of stuff you want to hear versus ball being on the ground or picks.
Right.
But it's early, and practice just got going, but that's coming out of Indy.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Zachariah Branch, we've seen this at all the practices we've been to, where he just makes crisp cuts. I mean, it's the stuff that, you know, people, I don't know if every fan gets it, but you've got to do that work. Arch talks about it on the radio broadcast. It's something that wasn't happening last year.
You're right.
With our receivers. Talking about you, Darnell. But no, it's really cool to watch this guy go through his work. He's a pro. We know what you come to expect from guys who played for Kirby. But Branch, that's why I'm excited. If they can figure out this quarterback situation, we got a super weapon.
Yeah, man. Tua looks good, at least early in practice. Again, right. Nobody's hitting him, right? No, these guys still have on the red jerseys. But that's going to be the case for Daniel Jones, too. I mean, that's just part of this. You're not trying to get your quarterback killed, regardless if you're going live or not. Hey, Day-Day, what's up, man? What's on your mind?
Hey, man. Happy hump day out there. Real quick, shout out to the Dream. Big win for them last night over the Aces. But their matchup on Sunday with the Fever drew the largest WNBA cable audience in WNBA history with a reported 2.6 million viewers. Mm. So, and it was a game that was televised on ESPN. So, thought it was, well, I won't go there. Never mind. Great.
As long as you enjoyed it. And those 2 million people obviously enjoy the product.
Yeah.
It was a good game.
And it's growing.
It was a great
game. It's growing. Who doesn't know about this game? Yeah, I don't. But I'm glad it was good. A lot of offense, a lot of clutch free throws and jump shots and stuff.
After the Caitlin Clark loss the other night, which you said they start in this road trip, I thought this was a game they'd probably lose, but they responded.
They responded big time, too. Big win over the Aces. Becky Hammon getting tossed and all that.
That was part of it, too.
Yeah, she deserves it, right? Did she deserve it, Carl?
She did deserve it.
Don't worry, Mike. We'll move on now.
She deserves it.
All right, this next one, it's a little long, but we're finally hearing from the owner of the Celtics in regards to moving on, the decision on to move on from Jaylen Brown.
Bad decision.
Said he had to be convinced.
Convinced.
I truly believe we have the best, you know, front office in the NBA, and I think it's a source of, you know, of advantage for us every day. And so I definitely have a level of trust in Brad and his team. But man, as a fan, that was tough, and I really, you know, I really need to be convinced, and you know, to take the fan passion out of it, because I'm a super fan, was tough, and to frankly, you know, not and to put aside the and you know, you have to kind of be a, I think you have to be a sociopath if you don't worry a little bit about what other people, the other fans, are going to think. And so to put all that to the side and just, you know, do the job. And, you know, I step back and realize, you know, you have a responsibility, you know, to protect and advance the legacy of the Celtics. And, you know, we've got the best, you know, brains in basketball. And this is something that they had conviction around. And, you know, I needed to be convinced, and that's my job. But they did convince me, and, you know, we did it, and we did it with conviction. And I think, you know, we'll see where it goes, but we feel good about it.
Yeah, the problem for me, and once you make these decisions, you got to move on.
Mm-hmm.
But you got Paul George back. Mm-hmm. He's a lesser player right now in his career than Jaylen Brown is. This is simple math. This isn't about both guys getting $50 million, whether you like it or not. So who's the better player right now? It's Jaylen Brown. It's not even close. Paul George has been a shell of himself for years now.
Yeah.
And so that is the issue. You're putting Paul George with Tatum and White. They still have some guys that will have, you know, championship experience. But it's like, dude, that's
it ain't the same.
That's my issue.
Yeah.
And if it's just numbers, I hate to tell you guys, Paul George, again, is making $50 million. So is Jaylen Brown.
Right. Yeah, but one of these guys is an MVP caliber player, to your point. And, you know, we said it got sideways with him and Tatum. It happens in pro sports. But if I'm the Celtics, that's why you hear the owner. I couldn't be convinced. I wouldn't have let them trade him either.
Nope.
I would have, as the owner, you know, I would have gotten these guys together over dinner and said, let's hash this out.
Yeah.
You know, because that's somebody had to. Brad Stevens probably, I don't know if he tried, but to me, you're not a better basketball team. I think the Celtics dropped from 1 or 2 to 3 or 4 in the conference. The Sixers, if they stay healthy, have got better depth. They've got like they got some young guys that can shoot. You know, it'll be obviously the matter of getting the big fella Embiid across the finish line with the season to keep him healthy. But the Sixers are the team, man. Again, if I'm the Celtics fans, I'm upset. If I'm the owner, I wouldn't sign off on it. And you hear him. It took a 90-second soundbite to explain. I was like, ah, well, I'm not.
Yeah, you could tell it definitely was eating at him when they were probably, you know, having those conversations with him. So, like I said, I saw it this morning, and I was like, you know, I know it's long, but it was – we hadn't really – you know, to my knowledge, we hadn't heard anything from him.
No.
In regards to it. So, all right, moving on. Speaking of numbers, guys, the SEC got to make a statement, and they got to make it this year. ESPN put out this list, and basically they broke it down.
Clickbait.
Not so much, though.
Clickbait.
Big Ten tops the SEC in preseason college football power rankings in 2024 through 2025. Big Ten, 20-9 in postseason wins. SEC, 10-15.
Day-Day, you've lived in the South. Day-Day, you know it doesn't matter unless you're not in a championship game, Carl. It doesn't matter. These kids are going to the NFL. I'm saying these are the excuses. And just like when Georgia lost to Texas that year, Carl, their eyes is on the bigger prize for next year. No bearing.
Well, the Big Ten's record.
By the way, that's me being ironical. Okay,
it is.
How else are you going to measure this thing by height? Yeah. If your guys leave, that's on your culture. Yeah. If you can't get guys to play in your bowl game.
Because Kirby has, even in this era, has gotten his guys to show up.
Yeah.
Right? So, but go ahead.
And I was just going to say, and then the last one was the Big Ten's record against the SEC in that time span, 10-7. So, as JC says, women lie, men lie.
Numbers don't. That's right.
So, the SEC, man, they got to...
And that's the thing that, like, the Brett Bielema's, we were talking about this earlier in the show. We had the voice of the Indianapolis Colts talking about Indiana and how they're living in this rarefied air and the fans have been waiting a century for it. But yeah, I mean, you get to chirp. When Brett Bielema wins the Cheez-It Bowl, right, or whatever bowl, he won. Yeah. They played the game. You played an SEC team. His fans were fired up because, look, the SEC's been eating everybody's lunch with the exception of Clemson and Florida State and that, you know, and two Ohio States the last 25 years. And that's it.
Yeah.
So people, they get up for it. The players certainly get up for it. The coaching staff does. And it's not their fault if a bunch of guys decide to go get ready for the combine and start training at IMG, Carl. Right?
That's true. It's true. Getting ready.
Right. All right.
And not getting their degree, by the way. Again, who cares, right?
No one cares these days. They go back and get that later.
Later.
All right. The last thing, guys, I realized I ain't built for this and I need her to come home.
What?
The wife had to travel for work.
What are you doing? What's going on?
He's doing all the things is what he's doing.
All the things. I have to get the oldest up at 5 a.m. for football practice. I got to get the middle two ready for school. Then I have to take the second oldest to his car share riding thing to get to school.
Your spirit is broken.
I had to make dinner today, this morning, for tonight. I can't do it. Honey, I know you're in Utah, but I need you back.
You take this stuff for granted, don't you? When she's not around, you're like, oh, I'll be fine. And now you're like a day in.
Yeah, I can't do it, man. I can't do it.
Oh, that's funny.
Hey, come back.
Come back, baby. Come back.
And that's what's on my mind.
It reminded me now, we joked around, Carl, like the old Bill Cosby skit. Now, again, you can't really quote Cosby anymore because it's like verboten. But remember when Cosby talked about when his wife left him in charge of the kids? And the kids are like, Dad,
you want cake?
We want chocolate.
Yeah.
I remember playing that. Love that record in the stand-up routine. Remember on HBO?
True.
And the children were singing my praises.
That's right.
Dad is great. Makes us chocolate cake.
Because you do things that they don't get with mom.
But remember, like, Cosby's like, I looked at what's in cake. Eggs, milk.
That's right.
These are good things.
That's right.
I just always thought of like that. That's what I was envisioning when you were talking about your routine.
Yeah, that's why when you guys were like, oh, yeah, Daddy looks like he's been working out. No, I was
You had the wife beater on.
Right.
Because I was talking to Daddy. We do the pre-show we do on Twitch and YouTube, and me and Daddy were on before Carl clicked in, and I go, what's going on? He's like, oh, I've got to get dinner ready. I'm like, it's 11 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
No, man. I had to, because, you know, her grandmother lives right around the corner. Her mother, my mother-in-law bought a house, and she hasn't moved here yet, but the grandmother's there. So she, you know, she gets dropped off at the house
to help
while the boys get out of school. But, yeah, I'm like, okay, you know, she's 85, 86. I can't have her coming over to cook dinner. So I was like, all right, I got to cook dinner. Need to cook it now.
I mean, what about just getting pizza? What about just getting a pizza, man? What about using fast food as your friend? DoorDash is your friend. What about seriously? Have you? What's the budget on DoorDash this week?
We have four kids, Mike.
There's a
you
lot.
Know how much these
no,
boys?
No, I have no. I have eat, no idea.
Well, exactly. Lot. These boys eat everything.
Yeah,
I'm missing a finger because they eat everything.
I'm not a big fan of children.
I mean, generally not.
What did you cook, by the way? What did you end up doing?
So I make it look good, but basically it's spaghetti with with macaroni shells.
Oh, feed the masses.
Mix some cheese in there, put some cheese on top, put it in the oven, let the cheese kind of melt, and then boom. And then the grandma, I did ask her to make the broccoli because I was like, I don't want to make the broccoli now. Like that's
how you doing it?
The broccoli?
You
just pop the bag in the microwave.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Simple.
I put cheese on it. Just melt cheese all over.
Oh, I love cheese on my broccoli.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah,
I do too. These kids are savages. They'll eat it all. They'll eat it all.
All is. Do you understand how much milk we go through with four boys?
No,
like I have.
I have two children under the age of four. I know exactly what you.
I have literally considered convincing my father, who has a nice. You know, granted, it's in North Carolina, but he's got tons of land.
Yeah.
And I have
put some cows on there?
Yes, put some cows.
Put some cows on there.
We'll invest in a pasteurizer.
I'll throw something on it for you.
What is it now, the average kid, by the time you raise him, basically from the time he's a baby, through he's out of the house?
I don't know what that is.
It's like half $1 million now between college.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
It's a lot.
Woo.
Yeah.
Man.
Well,
you know what I like doing?
How long?
You know what I like doing?
What's that?
Whatever I want, whenever I want.
Well, yeah.
But I'm sorry, back to you.
How long are you going to be by yourself, by the way?
So she left yesterday morning.
Okay.
She'll be back tomorrow afternoon. So if I leave in the middle of the day, it's because I went to go get her because I need her back now.
I got you, man.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, I
wouldn't
hear
leave.
You. I hear you. Hey, so. I think men can relate to that because it's always like, I'll be fine. And we are always thinking about our time alone.
Right.
You're not
right.
thinking about all the responsibilities that go along do. With it.
And then, now, in lieu of what you told us with all these kids and everything you got to do, remember last time he was solo, you were like, you watched like a rerun or something, you chilled out.
You had a beer.
Oh, yeah. You had a beer.
Now it makes sense to you, right?
Well, you got I guess so, man. Man, oh, man.
Now you understand.
Woo! Yeah. Well, hey, man, hang in
hats
there.
Hats off, brother. Hang
and,
in.
And I think the message from Mike is don't call him if you need help.
Yeah.
That's what I think the message is.
Now, real quick, when I used to live, when I lived down, actually, I'm going to go this way.
I'm not a big fan of children.
Down the street, when I lived at the Bennington, and we had there's a guy named Alan, and he was a dad. He was going through a divorce, and he'd get the kids day-day on the weekends. And it's happened to coincide with him dating this really hot chick that he was trying to get the balance going, Carl. So I lived right below him. And so, you know, my Thursdays go harder than some guy's Saturdays. So one day on a Saturday, he talks to me, goes, hey, man, is there any chance I can have, you know, Jason and his kid Alex come downstairs and just play video games with you? And I'm like, sure. And so the joke was, Carl, by the end of the day, I taught the kids how to play craps because I had these two giant oversized dice on the coffee table. And one of the kids goes, what is that? I go, that's dice. What's that for? I go, let me show you. So by the end of the day, we played Madden all day. We were playing the MLB The Show. Taught the kids how to play craps. I took them to the Hooters the one we go to in Cumberland. It was like Uncle Mike takes charge. And when his wife found out, she was like, I mean, mortified, absolutely mortified.
Well, it was a teaching day,
so right. It was almost like I did it such a bad. I mean, you could argue a good job, but yet a bad job that I'd never be asked again. So there was a strategy to it.
All right, guys, that's what's on my mind. And real quick. I know we're going to get back to Falcons. I know we got dogs, but I'm just going to tell you guys, go check out our guy, Daniel Flick.
All right.
Yeah, he's giving us all the details. He and D-Led are giving a breakdown from IndyCar. Yeah.
You want to read that last one I just sent to you, Carl, there, buddy?
I did. First team offense. All right, stay
that's
there.
That's the one I'm looking at.
Stay
yeah.
there. We're going to tell you what they did.
First, how are we doing?
First team offense. I will tell you when we come back. It's what you don't want to miss. Stay right there, all right? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mm-hmm.